Shalom and welcome to the second hour of 2 hours of Jewish soul music. This is show number 194 of April 15th. This hour will be a Yom HaShoah special. It is a rebroadcast from a 1990 program, but before we get to that, please allow me this comment. We must be vigilant and aware of the threat of a Holocaust in our own wonderful country. Let me tell you about the Great Neck incident that occurred yesterday, this past Sunday, April 14th. Pamela Geller was invited by the Men's Club of the Great Neck Synagogue. Her topic was the threat of Sharia law. Now get this, Habib Ahmed, commissioner of the Nassau County Human Rights Commission, warned the Great Neck Synagogue to cancel Pamela Geller's talk. The Great Neck Synagogue canceled the event because of Habib Ahmed's threat. Mr. Ahmed, on the Nassau County Human Rights Commission, this is similar to Syria and Iran sitting on the United Nations Human Rights Council. Fortunately, Rabbi Kaczynski, who heads the Great Neck Chabad, invited Pamela to speak there instead, and it was attended by an overflow crowd of hundreds. Pamela called for a demonstration outside the Mineola office of the Human Rights Nassau County Human Rights Commission. Helen and I attended this demonstration with hundreds of others. Our signs read, "This is not Islamistan. This is America, where freedom of speech is guaranteed." And the other sign was, "Danger. Jihad in America. Free speech silenced." Well, that's what they were really trying to do. But we must recognize the danger that we are facing here in America. Because if we fail to do this, we will become like Europe, which is now Eurabia, where freedom of speech, who knows what someone can say without fear of being murdered by these terrorists. Look at the Fort Hood terror incident. While yelling Allah Akbar, 13 young American soldiers were murdered and 32 injured. A clear case of Muslim terror, but this is called a workplace incident. Why are we not allowed to call acts of terror what they really are when the murder is caused by Islamofascists? Mr. Habib Ahmed, you thought your intimidation of the Great Neck Synagogue would quietly succeed. But what you succeeded in doing is making all of us aware of the danger facing us. If Islam is a religion of peace and of human rights, let it be in deeds, not words. Sadly, such acts such as yours and the one at Fort Hood indicate otherwise. Let's begin this hour with Moshe Kusevitzky with Yizkor Gedank. Moshe Kusevitzky, Zachor Gedank. if you haven't heard that before, that's from an album, earliest recordings of Moshe Koussevitzky. It goes back a few years. Let's hear one more. This is a memorial to the Holocaust, and it is a Yizkor by Moshe Koussevitzky. Let me just get this set so that I can play it. Okay, there we are.
Es nishemot. Yizkor Elohim. Es nishemot. Acheinu b'nei Yisrael. Alleluia Shalom Vegiboreho Nishemo Amen.
Moshe Kusevitzky. Okay, we're going back to April 1990. This is part of the second hour of that particular Holocaust or Yom HaShoah special. Let's begin. Again, we're going back to 1990. This will begin with Yossele Rosenblatt with Kaylee, Kaylee.
Red and me. Gessler Rosenblatt, 1924 recording. Leo Fuld was born in Rotterdam, Holland in 1914 and educated at the Theological Seminarium in Amsterdam, where he learned French, German, English, Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, besides his own language, Dutch, and at 17 he decided to become a singer, toured Belgium, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, and the Scandinavian countries. He picked up a few more languages on his travels. Upon his return to Holland, he quickly became that country's most famous radio singer. In 1936, he came to New York to sing at the French Casino and at the Paramount Theater on Broadway. In 1938, his temporary visa ran out and he had to return to Europe, where he applied for an immigration visa. He caught the last boat back from the Nazis, before the Nazis invaded the lowlands, and he immediately offered his services to the Free Netherlands government in exile. He started shortwave broadcasts to Holland. Rumors reached this country of what was happening to the Jewish population of Holland, and eventually word came to him that his entire family went the way of the 6 million others, Auschwitz. As a result, he could not face an audience, and he stopped singing completely. In 1948, he returned to Holland as an American citizen to search for news about his family. Upon his arrival, in gratitude for his wartime broadcasts, thousands of people greeted him, and he was offered a contract to sing at the largest theater in Amsterdam. Not having sung for over 5 years, he was petrified with fear, but he was such a success that he was held over for 6 weeks. Having regained his confidence, he accepted an engagement at the London Casino, where he was a tremendous hit. Offers followed from all over the world, and while in Paris with his review, he visited a little Yiddish nightclub where he heard a song which touched him deeply, Wohin soll ich gehen. Fuld was so impressed that he asked the composer for a copy, and he said, I'll make this a world hit. He kept his promise. Let's hear Leo Fuld singing the touching Wohin soll ich gehen? Where can I go?
Wohin soll ich gehen? Wer kann an für mich? Wohin soll ich gehen? Ins verschlossene jede Tier. Sie auf links, sie auf rechts. Ota so in jedem Land. Als wohin soll nicht gehen? Heißt, wenn sie bleiben stehen, hasch ihr Tell me, where can I go? There's no place I can see. Where to go, where to go? Every door is closed for me. To the left, to the right. It's the same in every land. There is nowhere to go. And it's me who should know. Won't you please understand? Now I know where to go. Where my folks proudly stand. Let me go, let me go. That precious promised land. No more left, no more right. Lift your head and you see, for at last I am free, no more wandering for me.
Leofold. In this past week's Jewish News, that's the Metro West Jewish News, the lead editorial is so appropriate, I'd like to read it. It's entitled Holocaust, No Lie. Wernich Chung Slager. A dreadful sounding word, whether one knows German or not. It means extermination camp. And today, Holocaust Remembrance Day, we honor the memory of millions of our people who were tortured and murdered in such infamous places as Auschwitz-Birkenau, Dachau, Majdanek, Bredank, Treblinka, Bergen-Belsen, and many more. In the Vernichtungslagers throughout Nazi-occupied Europe, as well as in crowded ghettos, on forced marches, in forests, and in railway cars, 6 million Jews died terrible deaths simply because they were Jews. 50 years later, neo-Nazism and anti-Semitism are everywhere on the rise, whether manifested in the Russian nationalism of Pamyat, Saddam Hussein's threat to obliterate half of Israel with chemical weapons, or the smearing of swastikas on American synagogue walls by skinheads. Much of this anti-Jewish activity is fed by the growing cancer of revisionism, the lie being circulated by hate mongers around the world that the Holocaust was a hoax. Most recently, the PLO, the organization with which the world insists Israel negotiate on peace in the Middle East, joined the fray. The Cyprus-based weekly El Istiklal, which was started by Yasser Arafat last year as the official PLO publication on topics dealing with the West Bank and Gaza, recently published an article titled "Burning of Jews in Nazi Chambers is the Lie of the 20th Century in Order to Legitimize the New Zionism." That's the title of the article. The article states that, quote, Nazi camps were more civilized than Israeli prisons. And, quote, the world must combat Zionism because it is more dangerous to human civilization than the Nazis. Today, Yom HaShoah, as we honor the memory of the 6 million who perished in the Holocaust, let us also remember that the potential for anti-Semitic violence against Jews everywhere remains strong, and that the threats to the existence of Israel are still very real. The Holocaust was no lie. Neither is the possibility that its specter could arise anew. That's an editorial from this past week's Jewish News of Metro West. And may I add, when Elie Wiesel was asked, what did we learn from the Holocaust? His answer was, we learned that Holocausts can happen. With evil people in this world such as Saddam Hussein, Gaddafi, Arafat, and Farrakhan, not only must we be vigilant, we must be organized, united, and strong, and Israel must have our unquestioned support. Never again. Never again. Returning now to the cantorial section of the show, and many of you are aware that the Holocaust affected many, many cantors, and this evening I will be playing cantors who were directly affected by the Holocaust. Gershon Sirota was born in Podolia, Gubernia in 1874. In 1896, he became cantor of the famous Vilnius Synagogue, where he remained for 9 years. In 1905, at the age of 31, he became cantor of the famous Tlomatska Synagogue, and he held posts in various towns. In 1935, Sirota became cantor of the Norzhik Shul. In 1938, he came to the United States, but returned to Europe after receiving a telegram that his wife was critically ill in Warsaw. With the outbreak of the war, Sirota was imprisoned in the Warsaw ghetto with his family. 2 years later, cantor Gershon Yitzchak Sirota was murdered with his entire family during the destruction of the Warsaw ghetto on the last day of Passover. Let's hear the great Gershon Sirota singing Ritzeh from the Shemona Esrei. Gershon Sirota with Ritzeh. Cantor Samuel Taube was a cantor in Vienna. From there he went to Paris, France, to accept a position as cantor of the Synagogue de la Rue Montevideo. Here he remained until 1943, when the German occupying forces arrested and deported him to Auschwitz concentration camp. He managed to survive it, truly by the grace of God. In 1949, he accepted an invitation to succeed cantor Jacob Kusevitsky in the Dalston Synagogue in London. In 51, he was called upon to succeed cantor David Kusevitsky at the Hendon Synagogue, the largest in London. In 1958, he accepted a position at Beth Sholem Congregation, the largest Orthodox synagogue in Washington, D.C. We'll hear him singing Habet Mishumayim, "Look from heaven and perceive that we have become an object of scorn and derision among the nations. We are regarded as sheep led to slaughter, to be killed, destroyed, beaten, and humiliated. But despite all this, we have not forgotten your name. We beg you not to forget us.
The hollow show, I know, over all those.
Samuel Taube, Habet. Yehoshua Wieder was born in Miskolc, Hungary in 1906. He held various posts throughout Hungary. Following his post-war liberation, the sole survivor of five brothers, he came to the United States in 1949. He served 5 years at the Talmud Torah of Flatbush, 3 years in Bell Harbor, and then at Congregation Adath Jeshurun Hadrath Kodesh of Montreal until his most untimely passing in 1964 at the early age of 58. We'll hear Yehoshua Wieder singing Vahu Rachum from the weekday Mar of Davening. Yehoshua Wieder. Moshe Koussevitzky was born in 1899 in Smorgon, a small town on the Russo-Polish border. In 1920, he settled in Vilna And in 1925, he became cantor of the Great Synagogue of Vilna, following greats such as Reutemann, Hirschman, and Sirota. In 1928, he became the cantor of the Tlomaki Synagogue in Warsaw, following Sirota. His debut in the United States came in 1938 at Carnegie Hall, and despite numerous offers, he decided to return to Warsaw and was thus caught up in the Nazi Holocaust. Arrested by the Gestapo, he was scheduled to be sent to Treblinka, but he was rescued by the Polish underground. His second career now began in Russia. After the war, he came to the United States in 1947 to begin his third career. In 1952, he accepted a post at the Bethel Synagogue in Borough Park, where he officiated until his death in 1966. We'll hear the great Moshe Koussevitzky singing V'ni Kesi Domom Lo Ni Kesi from Av Harachamim Shochein Meromim. This is the memorial prayer for the Kedoshim who died Al Kiddush Hashem, martyrs who died to sanctify God's name. This is recited most Shabbosim in Musaf before Ashrei. The great Moshe Koussevitzky.
Leinenu, Ivara Bagoyim, Leinenu, Leinenu, Ivara Bagoyim, Leinenu.
Moshe Koussevitzky. 1942, in a Nazi concentration camp, Sholem Katz was among 2,000 Jews scheduled for mass execution. He received permission to sing the Kelmo Lerachamim while the prisoners were digging their graves. The Nazi commandant, impressed with his voice, spared him to sing for the officers, and the next day, Sholem Katz was allowed to escape, the only one of 2,000 spared a brutal death. Let's hear his special Mole, used as a memorial for those who died in the Holocaust. You'll hear him mentioning the various concentration camps in this Kel Mole.
Oh, Oh.
Well, as you were able to gather, that was from a special from 23 years ago, 1990. Like yesterday, 1990. Look, I normally don't do so much talking. I'm not apologizing for it. I recognize, though, that there was an inordinate amount of talking, but it was appropriate, I believe. Anyway, thank you so much for joining with me. I can be reached at cbjmusic@aol.com, cbjmusic@aol.com, and tune in next week for more of the mixture of your favorite Jewish music. Thanks for joining with me, and shalom.